So one of the 242 people and organizations that I follow on Twitter is Sylvia. She is a person who works in marketing at a Hard Rock venue down in Massachusetts. I'm not sure I've met her. I think I have. But I think I started following her because they were a client of Tickets.com, and I was following their Twitter feed, and I think they recommended following her, so I checked it out, and I did. And I'm a bit of two minds about what she writes. She's very funny. But she also uses words that I'd rather not have come through on my timeline. And as an example of that, we were visited, you might remember, even as close as last week, by a certain hurricane. And she tweeted this. She said, "Thanks to Irene, I'm not the biggest heartless blank in America right now." Thanks to Irene, I'm not the biggest heartless blank in America right now. Which is pretty funny, but I'd rather not see that blank thing worth. And that tweet kind of reveals not only the fact that she can be humorous, but a bit of her online persona, what she portrays herself as. And if you think about it, she doesn't come off like a woman who has a whole bunch of patience with dealing with stupidity. You know, not the kind of woman you'd expect spending a whole bunch of time painting her nails, her toenails, if you know what I mean. But with lines like what I'm going to read you, I think you can understand why I deal with the danger of ingesting some profanity. For instance, "I don't do dishes. When I'm done eating, I smash plates on the floor and walk out of the kitchen like a rock star." Or, you know, if you guys don't giggle at this, then I'm going to think, man, I've got some really warped sense of humor. "Why is it that anything positive I ever say is followed by someone asking, 'Are you being sarcastic?' I'm not crying, you blank. I am having an allergic reaction to feelings. If you pull your sunglasses down and rest them on your upper lip while speaking to me, I've already envisioned 16 ways to kill you with them. The child in me says, 'Eat candy for breakfast.' The adult in me says, 'You're an adult. You can do whatever the blank you want. Do it.' When I think about quitting coffee, the fear is not that I will die. It's that others will die and I will go to jail."
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Okay, go. See? Great. Finally hit one. Coffee is it. Every time I want to get a laugh, I'm going to tell a joke about coffee. And the last one that I grabbed off her timeline is, "I'd be a lot more inclined to take my godson Matthew to Build-A-Bear if they could help him build one that would maul my neighbors." And so on. So, do you have a picture of Sylvia in your mind now?
Yes.
Probably somebody you'd have fun around, but wouldn't necessarily want to get in the crosshairs of, right? Well, on August 21st, she tweeted something that we can all learn from. Few words that give a lot of advice on how to handle her and anyone else who lacks the patience of Job or who can get hot under the collar quickly. And, as a matter of fact, most of the ones I read you pretty much used up all 140 characters. This one didn't even use up all 140 characters that she had to say it on Twitter. She wrote, "I just found my kryptonite, friendly people. I just found my kryptonite, friendly people." Now, I don't really know if Sylvia is a cranky or grumpy person. Online personas can be quite a bit different than reality. But I've seen enough of her tweets that I suspect she's actually a wonderful person with a bit of a hard exterior on the outside. We've all met people like that, where you can actually put up with a little bit of swearing and grumpiness on their part because you realize they actually are a really nice person. As a matter of fact, they might be somebody, versus other people are always nice, they might be somebody you'd rather have in a foxhole with you because you know you can really trust them. And that's my take on her. But we also know from her tweets that she is someone who can speak to what it takes to disarm individuals who aren't the epitome of congenial. That if you want to look to somebody who has advice on how to deal with that type of cranky or grumpy person, probably Sylvia is somebody who can tell you that their kryptonite, and I suspect pretty much everybody's kryptonite, is friendly people. Pretty simple. Now, do you agree? Have you ever been in a situation where you were ready to unload both barrels as soon as the person picked up that phone or came to that counter? You'd been wrong something awful and you were ready. And then that person at the window was especially nice and in a truly genuine way, even though you started the conversation off by biting their head off. And perhaps it didn't work at first, but as you continued to rant, isn't it almost impossible to stay irate if for every nasty word you say, they return a considerate response? Isn't it true? Now, at this point, does any Bible verse pop up in your head? Proverbs. Didn't mine too. Exactly. Winslow, let's look at it. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. When I read her tweet, now, I didn't remember it was 15, verse 1. I haven't memorized enough scripture. But I did remember this one. So we're going to look in Proverbs 15:1. Is everybody there? I like Proverbs. This is a fairly easy book to find in the Old Testament. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I just found my kryptonite, friendly people. Can you imagine being in a situation where Sylvia had a bad night, is feeling a bit under the weather, had some jerk at Starbucks spill coffee on her, and she walks in and you inadvertently catch her ire. She is cranky at you. She says something harsh to you, and you have to make a choice now. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't deserve her wrath. You have every right to tell her off. As she's giving you the evil eye, what do? A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Or, in some other translations, I like this. It's a short verse, and they are going to sound quite a bit alike. But listen to the slight differences in words. Here's some other translations. The NET Bible, the NET Bible, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The King James Version, it always sounds good with a F in it, right? A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous, I like that word. Doesn't grievous kind of point back at us? But grievous words stir up anger. The New American Standard Bible, which I know somebody here has, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And in that one, a translator footnote says, harsh is literally painful. I like that. A painful word stirs up anger. The New Living Translation, now we're getting more into, well, I guess New Living Translation is probably still a translation, but we're heading more towards paraphrases. A gentle answer deflects. I like that word. Deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Harsh words make tempers flare. The Contemporary English Version, a kind answer soothes angry feelings, but harsh words stir them up. The New International Reader's Version, this one's for kids. And I would say if you have any nephews, nieces, children, grandkids that are younger than third grade level, this is a great one to have. A gentle answer turns anger away, but mean words stir up anger. And then finally, the Message. And now we've probably left paraphrase into just normal foof, but not in this case. Not in this case. A gentle response diffuses, I like that word, like a bomb, right? A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. A sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. So, you're there with Sylvia. You have to choose, before you can make a decision, you have to choose whether you want to return a gentle answer, a soft answer, a kind answer. These were all in what I was just reading. A gentle response. Or perhaps you want to return harsh words, grievous words, or grievous words, mean words, a sharp tongue. Of course, which list you want to select from depends on whether you want to turn away anger, to deflect anger, to turneth away wrath, to soothe angry feelings, to diffuse anger, or perhaps you would rather stir up wrath, make tempers flare, stir up anger, stir up angry feelings, or kindle a temper fire. So there you are before fuming and coffee-stained Sylvia, stung by her sharp tongue and a witty one at that, and you, well, before we answer that, one verse in the Bible plus a cool tweet does not a doctrine make. So let's look a little bit more. The first one, so we're going to see if somebody who wrote prolifically had a little advice for us, and that would be Paul. Well, actually, no, we're not. Actually, what I'd like to do first is let's stay in Proverbs, see if Proverbs has a little bit more. And actually, if you stay in Proverbs 15, and I should have warned you before you closed your books, but if it's any consolation, I close mine too. But Proverbs 15, and we're going to look at verse 18. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Are we there? A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Then let's go 10 chapters later, and we're going to look at 25:15, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15. Proverbs 25, verse 15. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. And a soft tongue will break a bone. Think of that. If you are patient and slow to anger, not only will you quiet contention, but your soft tongue will break a bone. Pretty incredible, isn't it? Of course, if you really want to break a bone of that contentious person, then you're missing the point of that verse. How about Paul? Now let's look at Paul. What does he recommend in tense situations? We're going to look at Romans chapter 12 and 18 through 21. And again, here's somebody, I don't think he was contentious, but he had to deal with a lot of contentious people. So here's somebody who can give us a lot of advice from experience. So we should remember that as we get to Romans chapter 12. Starting with verse 18, if I can get past these thin pages that Jerry loves too. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil. I keep on wanting to, when I read this, I read it as, do not overcome evil with evil, but actually what it says is, do not be overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. And actually, I probably should include verse 17, if you look above. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. From Paul we learn, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, there are situations we can't control. Live peaceably with all. Never, and this is not a hyperbole, never avenge yourselves. Do not be overcome by evil. If you avenge yourself, you have been overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil. Instead, overcome evil with good. And, by the way, if you read those verses, and I'm thinking about maybe doing a sermon just on those verses, because you got to admit there are hard parts of it, but if you overcome evil with good because you want him or her to face God's wrath, for our Lord to take vengeance, and you want to heap burning coals on his or her head, then again, you're probably not getting the point. Not that I don't understand why. How about Peter? Now, Peter, did he ever have a temper problem? Maybe. You know, if you lost your ear in the garden as a servant of the high priest, Peter cut it off. You might think he has a temper problem. So here's somebody like Sylvia who can give some good advice. So what did Peter have to say about that? And we can find out. I'm sure he said more. But what we're going to look at is 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. We there? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. And 9 is going to sound a lot like something we heard in verse 7 from Paul. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. Bless. For this you were called. And just, you know, if you think about it, he says to have a tender heart. What does that mean? Does a tender heart fight back a lot? And it doesn't mean tender as in cry a lot. It means tender as in don't be a defensive person. Be a kind person. He says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But what stood out most to me is, what did he say? To the contrary, do what? Bless. Bless. And you could say, I mean, he always, just like Paul, throws in a good reason to do it, because then you'll get a blessing. But you know what? You can drop that off. If you're, just like I'd say, if you really want to heat burning coals, you're missing the point. If the only reason you're going to bless somebody is because you want to obtain a blessing, again, you're missing the point. Mm-hmm. If the only reason you're sitting here is because you want to get to heaven, you're not going to be in heaven. It's just a reality. Bless. He also said something like Sylvia's tweet of how kind words turn away anger. Something that, well, let me rephrase. I'm sorry. Just like Sylvia's tweet is another way of saying that kind words turn away anger. Something we've been taught as children is encompassed in what Peter wrote, and actually when I read verse 7, what Paul wrote. What's the saying that we're told as children when somebody wrongs us? Oh, I like that. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. That's not the one I was thinking of. Let's see. Oh, there we go, my wife. Two wrongs don't make a right. Do not return evil for evil. Two wrongs do not make a right. Instead, we were called to bless, to overcome evil with good, and by doing so, we obtain a blessing. And I believe, as a whole, we attain that blessing right then and there, even if we don't realize it. And some maybe later on. So here you are, frozen in time with Sylvia. Soon, you have to make a decision. You had a bad night too. Dog made you go walk it three times overnight. You don't feel well either. Maybe the early stages of a cold. You got pulled over on your way to work. How's that help anybody's mood? Anybody? Yeah, not me. Luckily, I haven't been pulled over for a long time. Your feelings are raw, and she just verbally slapped you when you didn't do anything wrong. But before I actually unfreeze time and you make your decision on what to say back, I'd like to share a story from Charles Spurgeon. People familiar with him? Great sermon writer, 20th century. Or I shouldn't say sermon writer, sermon giver. He was a preacher's preacher, so much that people quote him way too much. But I'm going to go ahead and quote him. "I once lived where my neighbor's garden was divided from me by a very imperfect hedge. He kept a dog, and his dog was a shockingly bad gardener and did not improve my plants. So one evening, while I walked alone, I saw this dog doing mischief, and being a long way off, I threw a stick at him with some earnest advice. As to his going home. The dog, instead of going home, picked up my stick and came to me with it in its mouth, wagging his tail. He dropped the stick at my feet and looked up to me most kindly. What could I do but pat him and call him a good dog and regret that I spoke roughly to him? Time has unfrozen. It's time to respond to Sylvia." A medieval rhyme, which I'll totally mess up the pronunciation of, wait till the translation, goes something like this. "Frangitur ira gravis, quando e responsio sovis." I guess it would be savis. What it translates to is, "Anger, however great, is checked by answer sweet." Anger, however great, is checked by answer sweet. Sylvia's kryptonite is friendly people. Jesus says, peacemakers will be called sons and daughters of God. What do you say, child of the Most Holy One? How sweet is your answer?